And the title of my sermonette is The Perfect Storm, and I'll get right to it. Dictionary.com definition of the perfect storm says, a particularly bad or critical state of affairs arising from a number of negative and unpredictable factors. Cambridge Dictionary's definition of the perfect storm reads, an extremely bad situation in which many bad things happen at the same time. I did numerous research on the internet regarding the perfect storm, and I came across a website called ushistory.com. The title of the article was named The Real Perfect Storm. I'll read a portion from the article. When three large weather systems collided in late October 1991 in the North Atlantic Ocean off the coast of New England, Nova Scotia, and Newfoundland, the result was nearly apocalyptic. Coined as the perfect storm by the National Weather Service, the bizarre extratropical low might be described as the meteorological equivalent to the Big Bang. The storm claimed 12 lives, including all six hands aboard the MV Andrea Gale, a commercial sword fishing boat based out of Gloucester, Massachusetts, caught out at sea 500 miles from port. Those men were the focal point of the best-selling novel, The Perfect Storm, by Sebastian Junger. Published in 1997, the novel was followed by a movie in 2000, starring George Clooney. The real perfect storm, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the NWS Disaster Survey Report officially called the storm the Halloween Nor'easter of 1991. Robert Case, deputy meteorologist of the NWS Boston office, coined the phrase the perfect storm while he was being interviewed by Junger. Locals just call it the Halloween storm or the no-name storm. Setting the stage from mid-October to mid-November, New England annually undergoes swift and dramatic changes in the weather as it transitions from fall to winter. Nor'easters are powerful weather systems that can span more than 1,000 miles that can occur along the eastern seaboard of the United States between October and April when moisture and cold air are abundant. They are known for dumping huge amounts of rain and snow as far inland as the Appalachians, producing hurricane-force winds and generating beach-eating waves and coastal flooding. As usual, cold air from Canada was oozing south and combined with a cold front arriving from the west to move through the northern tiers of states. At the same time, a huge high-pressure system was building over southeast Canada. That was not a totally unknown experience because it is known that land loses its summer heat faster than the ocean waters, which create ideal conditions for the development of high pressure over open waters. I'm going to skip down here. Well, this October 1991 was going to be different, to say the least. The high pressure area off the coast of Nova Scotia and the low pressure system moving across the northern tier had merged into the beginnings of a typically nasty nor'easter, swirling back on itself, once again bringing a familiar but unwelcome storm system to the hardy folk of New England. Hurricane Grace was in its waning stages, but still packed high potential winds. It made a hairpin turn northeast toward the newly combined low-pressure system hovering south of the Maritimes. The burst of added energy fueled seas approaching four stories high from crest to trough. The resultant tempest in the North Atlantic claimed all things non-aquatic. The fate of the Andrea Gale was caught on the horns of a dilemma. It could not retreat to safer waters due to its highly perishable cargo and supposed ice machine failure, and it could not safely forge ahead. To remain as a cork in those seas were surely not an option either. So forge ahead they did, with tragic results. They were met by 40-foot waves and winds howling at more than 50 miles per hour. Higher waves were reported by passing ships, but they were unconfirmed. As the center of the storm drifted southward over the warm waters of the Gulf Stream, the system morphed first into a tropical storm and then into a Category 1 hurricane. The hurricane was expected to remain out at sea, but the northeast United States was yet being hammered by the main body of the storm. The stalled cold front in the Midwest produced blizzard conditions in eastern Minnesota, dumping 28 inches of snow on the Twin Cities and record 37 inches on Duluth. Though the storm lasted 3 days, it was fittingly dubbed the Halloween Blizzard. With temperatures warmer in southern Minnesota, it became a major ice storm there, snarling traffic and shutting down public transportation. Even though the worst of the storm stayed offshore, it was estimated to have caused about $1 billion in damage. More than 1,000 homes from Maine down through the Carolinas were damaged. The reason I'm reading a lot of that article is because I'm going to be leading up to the spiritual storm that's about to come, and it's already here, actually. So, but I'll continue. Other notable Northeasters include Ash Wednesday of 1962, when the Northeast coast was continually mauled for 5 days. President's Day of 1979, when a storm shut down the nation's capital. The blizzard of 93, when tornadoes, flooding, and snow damaged homes and businesses from Maine to Alabama to the tune of more than $1 billion. Now, there are other devastating storms, like recently Hurricane Ian, Katrina, Camille, the 1900 Galveston hurricane, and too many to mention, but I wanted to focus on the perfect storm of 91. Now, all the conditions were perfect to form these storms. Warm air from a low pressure system coming from one direction, a flow of cold and dry air generated from a high pressure from another direction, which tropical moisture provided by tropical storm or hurricane. These are physical storms, but do we see a perfect storm coming in a spiritual sense? We are living in a perfect spiritual storm in these present times, right now, today. The decadence of society everywhere in every sector in this life is forming the perfect storm. Godlessness is rampaging like never before, and it will get worse. Can there be proof that a spiritual perfect storm is here? You bet. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Please turn with me there. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, times of stress. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Brethren, there is a storm coming that will not even compare to the worst storms physically combined in history. God is warning everyone in his word and is recorded in Jeremiah. There are many scriptures that God warns about turning to his way of life or else. But for this context, please turn with me to Jeremiah 30, verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah 30, 23 and 24. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with flurry, a continuing whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until he has done it. and until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will consider it. The contemporary English version on Jeremiah 30, 23 says, I am furious, and like a violent storm, I will strike those who do wrong. God is not pleased. Are we pleased of how the world is going, brethren? The leaders of this world, especially in the U.S., are bringing the perfect storm closer and closer to fury. Jesus keeps repeating in the word to be ready before he returns. In Matthew 24, verses 42, 43, and 44, no need to go there, it says to be ready on guard three times. I'll read it. This is the contemporary English version. Matthew 24, 42, so be on your guard. You don't know when your Lord will come. So number one, Matthew 24, 43, homeowners never know when a thief is coming, and they are always on guard to keep one from breaking in. Number two, Matthew 24, 44, always be ready. Three, you don't know when the Son of Man will come. But of course, there is good news. Mr. Rank always ends his sermons with good news, so I will follow that. There is good news. Hard to believe, but will come out of this. We can find this in Zechariah. And please turn with me to Zechariah 14, verses 8 and 9 for my last scripture. Zechariah 14, verses 8 and 9. And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, and half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day it shall be that the Lord is one, and his name is one. Jesus will return, and there will be a theocracy government. The world will not be controlled and run by human government anymore. The storm, quote-unquote, will pass, and the sun, S-O-N, quote-unquote, will shine.